get right back to our photo tour with Harry. Harry's really not an admiral, but he is to me, so that's my little appellation for him. Heath, what is your rank with the Coast Guard Auxiliary? You have a rank.
I was, my last posting was flotilla commander, which means two rings on your sleeve, which is similar to a Navy lieutenant, full lieutenant, or an Army captain.
I wouldn't know what a flotilla is. Isn't that a group of ships?
Yeah, pretty much. We had about a dozen small boats and three small aircraft, and we just did primarily search and rescue if somebody got lost out there on the in the Gulf, and radioed for mayday. If they were sinking, we'd run out and get them, or if somebody was lost, we'd send the planes out, look for them. Mostly it was just to help recreational boaters. Drug interdiction, that was all the regular Coast Guard, because they're empowered to make arrests. The rest of our military are not empowered to arrest people, but the Coast Guard is.
I didn't know that either. Always learning. Okay.
Yep.
Where are we here? 12?
We're 12E.
12E. There it is. That's a happy-looking building. What is that one?
Yeah. When we first saw it, it was beautiful. It was up for sale. This was where Admiral Dönitz lived, and he had his offices there. And a few
that
years
was his
before
home?
This picture was... Yeah, his home and offices there outside of Berlin. Mm-hmm. And 3-4 years before this picture was taken, it was being sold, being shown by realtors to be sold. And it was in perfect shape. But then, I guess, I don't know, World War what? Adolf who? And they just abandoned the place, and this is what happened to it. People were busting out windows just for fun.
They do that all around the world, don't they?
Yeah, afraid so.
Even in Patagonia.
But, I guess.
Okay, 13A.
13A and B. This was the home of the 5th Panzer Corps, the 5th Tank Corps. And this is where the tank would be stored, in those individual little spots. You go to 13 Baker and you see another group of shops there, tank repair shops. And 13C, this is the house where Heinz Guderian lived. He was the tank genius. And this is where he lived on the property.
Huh. Looks like it's still being used.
It was at that time, yeah. I don't know what's going on now.
What happened to Guderian after the war?
I don't know. I'm not the expert on the Panzer guys. I'm an expert on the U-boats, but not on the Panzer guys. I imagine if you Google it, you'll find 20 or 30 different answers.
Yeah. Okay. 14A.
14. That whole 14 series, that is the headquarters of the OKW, in other words, the Oberkommando der Wehrmacht, the high command of the German military. These were hardened houses. There were 6 of them, 3 on each side of the...
Looks like all concrete to me.
Yeah, heavy concrete, but they were blown up afterwards. After the Russians took over, they were using them, and then they blew them up when they left home. Now, the plans for Operation Valkyrie were hatched in one of these 6 buildings, you know, where Tom Cruise was going to blow up Adolf Hitler. they hatched the plans in one of these 6 buildings. Then from there... We go down, 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 90 meters underground. Stand by. Okay. yes. And the entire command structure was down there, as you'll see in a moment, once the door shuts. Christmas shopping. There we go.
Asha took Kay out shopping? I see.
No, I have to hold Asha to where she doesn't run out the door, because these dogs love to run and they don't.
So you're doing that right now. You're holding Asha and speaking on the radio.
Well, I was. Now I'm back on the radio again.
Okay.
But anyhow, I'm
That's
multi-talented.
15A, yes, I would say.
15A. That is 90 meters under the surface of the Earth. 90 meters is, what, close to 300 feet.
That's incredible.
And then if you look
at... Was that stairways, or do they have an elevator? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Stairway?
Elevator. There ain't no elevator. Yeah,
just
stairways,
little,
you
just
betcha.
A little humor. A little war humor.
Yeah.
That's an
long
elevator. Way down. Three. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if you hike a bit up and down, and then 15B, you'll see the Funk Anlagen. I guess that's a radio. 15C is Fernsprecher. That's a loudspeaker system. It's all from back in the day.
How large were the facilities 300 feet down?
They went a long way. I don't know the exact number, but they went a long way in every direction.
Tunnels, so to speak, rounded.
No, square-shaped tunnels mostly. The round one was kind of for some kind of specific usage. The round one, but most of them were squared off. But they were way down under the ground.
Wow.
And
looks like they labeled
doors.
Yeah, they labeled that radio. So I guess they charge you admission. You can go down there. Is that the deal?
Yep, our group goes in.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is covered in the cost of the tour. Entrance to every place we go, all the breakfast, all the hotels, all the ground transfer, and people can send an email to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and say they want information about the patrol. We'll send it to them, no charge.
What's the date, the expected date for
September
this?
September 5 until 18.
How many facilities would have been built that deeply? That's deep.
A lot of them. They didn't want to get bombed.
And to this day, I'll bet a lot of them have not even been entered in. I bet they've been lost.
Oh, yeah. They cover the entrances way back. Either the SS blew them as they were retreating, or for whatever reason, the Allies blew some of them shut. The Soviets blew some of them shut. I don't know why, but they did. And we go to the ones that we can find.
Look at 15D. The number of telephones on that switchboard underneath the ground there. That's a lot of lines.
Yeah. Yeah, they were a busy bunch. They were, well, that was a central command.
Yeah. Okay. 15E, more radios. It's one of the few places where they left things behind.
Yeah, I have no photos of it, but we also go into the East Germany command center, and it's room after room after room, you know, 90 meters down or whatever, and all the rooms are mounted on Gigundo rubber blocks, and all the furniture and desks and chairs and beds and everything are suspended from the ceiling on springs, so that if somebody nuked them, they just bounce around for a while. Even the freezers in the mess hall were mounted on rubber blocks.
When they were building these, they were aware of the fact that nuclear weapons were coming on the way and might be used.
Well, not the German ones so much. But they were just under heavy bombardment, and some of the tall boy bombs. What were they, like 13,000 pounds or something like that, and built to penetrate deep. So they were avoiding those. But when the DDR guys built theirs, you know, that was already into the Cold War, and everybody knew about nuclear weapons, so that's why they were down there so deep. We'll be going into there, but I don't have photos of them.
Wow. Okay. Now, those are all German relics down there.
Yes, yes, that's correct. And we go there. Take all the photos you want.
Well, I'm looking at that 15F, and there's a chart up at the top. Probably it was a directory of all the phone lines, maybe. Who knows? Look at that.
Could be. It's been a while since I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next, 16.
16. There was a bunch of these structures. This is the only one still standing. The rest have been dynamited and destroyed. These were bomb shelters. You could get a mess of people in there, and they're very thick walls. And you notice that the it's very pointy to where, you know, bomb's not going to hit on the roof, and the walls are pretty substantial.
Right.
So people would dash in there, and the sound of the bombs must have been terrifying anyhow, but that's what it is.
This is closest to what major city?
Berlin. Berlin.
So we're still in the outskirts?
Berlin.
Okay.
Berlin. Yes, we're still in the outskirts of Berlin.
I wonder how many of these types of bomb shelters were built. Probably a lot.
Probably were a lot because they were quick and easy to put up, but they got all blown
deflect,
up, most of them.
Well, the blast force from a bomb would tend to go right around them. They're smart.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the 17 series has to do with Operation Valkyrie. 17A is police headquarters, and if you look closely, you'll see a kind of a gateway there down on the first floor, big black opening.
Yeah.
And you go through that opening into the courtyard, and there you see 17B, that's von Stauffenberg, and who knows who else. They're on their way to meet their maker.
Wow.
Yeah, going to get shot. And 17C, that's the wall they stood him against, and there's a wreath there, and there's a bronze plaque hailing von Stauffenberg and all the rest of those guys.
He's actually walking under guard there, guards there, and he's going to his doom.
Yep.
He's waving.
I don't know which one is Stauffenberg. I think the other one is Stauffenberg, but
waving in that circumstance is a little odd. But... Okay,
yeah, what choice did he have? He was going to die,
right.
Might as well. So, anyhow, they hail these guys as heroes. And
define hey for they for us. Who hailed them as heroes?
German government. The German government hails them as heroes because they tried to assassinate Hitler.
The current
now, whether you love
German,
Hitler
the post,
or, yeah.
Yeah, the post-war government. Yeah. I want to be clear on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether you love Hitler, hate Hitler, or don't give a damn about Hitler, no matter what country, if anybody tries to assassinate the leader of a country, that's right. Treason. But in this case, of course, looking back, George Washington was a traitor, too, to England because he was a British subject, and then he became an American. So, and the British had a price on his head. He was a wanted war criminal in the view of the Brits. We thought he was a hero, and they thought he was a, you know, one man's war hero is another man's war criminal.
Yeah, they have the plaque there. It says July 20th in the morning, 1944.
Yeah. Yep. Then
and are there still bullet holes? Sorry, are there still bullet holes in the wall?
Yeah, but you got to look hard to find them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't change the wall, that's for sure. It's the same wall.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I think that wreath and the plaque covers a lot of them. I'll look for them next time I'm over. Come with us. Look for them yourself.
Yeah, wish I could.
I know you don't get on an airplane.
No. All right, there's a photo 18D of Stauffenberg.
Von Stauffenberg, yeah. Oh, bad enough he got shot. His entire family was screwed up. His wife His kids were taken away from his wife. They were given to a, quote, suitable family, unquote, to raise. And their names changed. His wife got impoverished. Mm-hmm. And after the war was over, she applied for a widow's pension. And they said, no, he didn't die. He didn't die in combat. He died, you know, at the end of a volley of gunfire. So, funny
All right.
situation.
Yeah, it is. 19.
We are all standing at what used to be the entrance to the Führer bunker. This is right down below there is where Hitler's bunker was. Is.
Underneath.
Still is today.
It's yep. still there. Oh, yeah, it's there.
Yep. There is one place, I don't know where it is, but, excuse me, there is one place where there is a door where you can go into it if you have the right connections. We don't, but we've got a videotape of that in 1990-something. Some archaeologists were allowed to go in. So it's still there, but it's just blocked off. You're not supposed to see it because it's evil.
You know
evil.
How much money a year they could make by opening
Oh, God.
Up?
Yeah, put a turnstile there. Holy smokers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like you had a great group there. That looks good.
Yeah, let me go back and take a look. See, probably can't see most of the faces now. Yeah, nice bunch of people. They're all nice bunch of people.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have nice people, we throw
ain't
them out.
No fun. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Number 20.
20. Everybody recognizes Checkpoint Charlie, and they've mm-hmm. got it set up to where it looks like. It did back during the Cold War days, and you can buy a souvenir hat, Red Army, whatever, and also they'll, for a fee, of course, they'll stamp your passport. I don't know if it's legal to have souvenir stamps in your passport, but some of our guys did, and nobody mm-hmm. got in a jam, but mm-hmm. when we were there on the day that the of reunification, and I went with my translator into their border guard headquarters and took the commander's heavy overcoat and his hat and his briefcase and the flag. I hold down their flag, and I've got those back at our headquarters. But now you can buy them. But these were the real deal. This was the commander's.
Very good.
He's probably getting cold in the wintertime.
I would think.
Okay.
21.
21. This is the museum for the Battle of Silo Heights. Nobody knows, unless you're a hardcore student of military history, nobody knows about Silo Heights. This is the area just west of the Oder River, between the Oder River and Berlin, 40 kilometers. The Red Army was massing, I think, five divisions on the eastern side of the Oder River in via a town called Kostrein, which is the most frequently destroyed city in history. Every time they build it up, some other war comes along and blows it up. So they're not going to build it up anymore. But anyhow, this is the museum that covers that battle between the onrushing Red Army from the Oder River into Berlin. This is where they came from. And Zhukov was there, Gregory Zhukov, or Georgi.
Mm-hmm.
He was leading that group.
How many men in a division?
Normal division's about 10,000. So what the Germans did, they massed on the west side of the Oder River, huh. and they figured the Red Army got them sighted in with the heavy guns, so when night came, they all pulled back, and sure enough, the Red Army started blazing away and blew up a whole bunch of real estate that the Germans had backed off on. Come daylight, the Germans came back, but, Jesus, they were so outnumbered. The Russians just had
50,000 men.
Inexhaustible
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the drop in the bucket. They had an inexhaustible number of troops.
Right.
So then we see the town there, 22A. That's a basement. That's all that's left. There's nothing standing in his whole town. It was blown up and for the last time, and they said, that's it. They're not going to rebuild it. So, and then you look at 22B. This is under what had been a castle there. And this is where Frederick the Great was almost executed on orders of his own father. I think he and his buddy were a little bit more friendly than normal, and they decided they didn't want to be in the military anymore, so they deserted because they wanted to play the lute, lyre, whatever, harp, and write poetry.
They got
caught, and the king, the emperor, whatever, Frederick's father, decreed that both these guys should have their heads chopped. The aristocracy went up in arms and said, no, you can't kill the future king. So, okay, his father backed off and said, okay, we won't chop his head off, but his punishment, he has to sit there and watch his buddy get his head chopped. So that's what happened there. Now, we're going to reveal, and to all of you who are listening, Victor and Christy and Sid and all you guys, I gave you a teaser about where the rabbit's foot, lucky rabbit's foot, came in. This is a statue there on that castle property. Apparently, Frederick's father was a real bastard. Wouldn't let Frederick have much of a life as a kid. And Frederick had a pet rabbit that he kept in secret. His father found out about it. His father made him kill the rabbit, skin the rabbit, cook the rabbit, and eat the rabbit. But he kept the rabbit's foot in his pocket so he had something to remember his rabbit with.
And that's where that came from.
Hmm. Yep. His father was not a nice guy, apparently.
No. No, the SPCA wouldn't give him an award.
No, and today Child Services would come out and get him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, yeah. No, they'd probably encourage him to allow his son to transit to another gender or woman.
All right. Oh, I just got a news blurb today. The new president of Brazil, who just took over on the 1st of December, September. Oh. No, 1st
Bolsonaro.
Of
Bolsonaro.
Whatever the hell. Yeah, Bolsonaro. He said no more gay worship, no more transgender, none of this stuff. You're either men or women, and that's it. So they're getting rid of all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah.
And I just got another one. I didn't read all I saw was the headlines before you called. In one of our western states, I forget which one, I think it was Idaho, but I'm not sure, some guy got sentenced to 16 years in prison for burning
he lit an LGBTQ flag on fire, and I don't know the particulars, but that was the charge against him, and for lighting a gay flag on fire, he gets 16 years in prison. They might as well have executed him. And finished.
Yeah, it's okay to burn the American flag, but you can't burn this LGB. Oh, God, no. So, I like LGBT, too. That's Liberty, Guns, Beer, and Trump.
There you go. All right. N1A.
Now we're leaving Germany. And we go here. We go on board that submarine. That is the only Type 7C submarine left in the world out of about 800 Type 7s. It's the only one left. And it was the boat of my very best friend in Germany, Hans-Georg Hess, who 4 months past his 21st birthday, they gave him command of this combat submarine and told him go on out and die for his country at a time when U-boats were not coming back from their very first patrol. They'd go out and get killed. He went out on 5 war patrols, sank some ships, won the Knight's Cross. And his boat was one of four that was in Trondheim, Norway, at the end of the war. And so the four boats were given to the Norwegian Navy. Uh-huh. And this one was renamed Kaura. And there was another Type 7, U570, I think it was, or 574, something like that, that had been interned in Spain, and the Spanish were using it after the war. And then they were done with it, and they offered it to the German government for the token price of one peso or something. And the German government says, hell no. So they broke that boat up. Well, this boat, the Norwegian government offered it to the German government for one kroner or whatever they use. And again, the German government said, hell no. But the German U-Boat Association says, hey, we'll take it, and we got a property for it. So they maintained this thing in beautiful condition. And it was my friend Hesse's boat. He was given command because the previous skipper, Kapitänleutnant Walter Kerntop, was accused of not being aggressive enough. He was not accused of being a coward, or he would have gotten shot. But they busted him from Captain Leutnant, which is like Lieutenant Commander, busted him all the way down to Common Seaman and put him on a machine gun, shoreside.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So this boat, we go on it. Hess became a doctor of law after the war. Uh-huh. And he was a great guy, my best friend over there, and he did things to help shark hunters that I'm still finding out about today.
Wow.
Great man. He's no longer with us, I'm afraid.
Yeah, 1B. You mentioned him before to me.
Yeah, he's a good man. Yeah. N1B, that's the radio system or the sound system inside the sub. N1 Charlie, that's where the petty officers or the watch officers slept. N1D, that's the forward torpedo room. And, you know, that's it for the N1 series. But we go through there, take all the photos and film you want. It's a tribute to the guys who didn't come back. Almost about 6 out of 7 didn't come home. Pretty damn high attrition rates.
30,000 young men went down.
Yep, and we've got the names of every single one that was killed in action, not only when their sub went down, but also, excuse me, thanks to Peter Hansen, we got more names, the guys that were on the bridge and got killed during an air attack, although the submarine kept going, or guys who were home on leave or were shoreside attending schools and got killed in bombing raids. We've got them all, 29,000. 800 and something. I forget which one, but we've got their names, their birth dates, and their rank and their rate.
And at the end of the war, just to make sure Harry gets us in, they were lined up around the block, young German men, to enlist and go into service on these U-boats.
Yep, yep. It was the only oversubscribed service of the German military. That's on one suburb of Kiel. Then we go to N2 in another suburb of Kiel. This is the Navy Memorial. And we go through that. And this is, the submarine is right out in front of this one. It's not at the U-boat Memorial. It's at the Navy Memorial. And we go through here, and they've got a propeller from the Prince Eugene, after the atomic bomb test at Bikini Atoll, they thought it sank, but it drifted around upside down and finally fetched up at the Keeling Cocos Island, but it was still hot. Finally, the radiation went away, and they pulled off one of the props, and it's on display here, too.
This is a German cruiser?
Yeah, the German cruiser that went out with the Bismarck.
And they took this ship all the way down there just to use it as cannon fodder for the Bikini Atoll atomic bomb blast.
Yeah, they took a lot of decommissioned American ships down there, too, mm-hmm. and some captured German ships. And mm-hmm. they wanted to see what effect the atom bomb would have on ships at sea. much. Mm-hmm. But this All one's right. back here now.
At least the prop is.
The prop is back here. Plus, there's there's also a phrase chiseled into the wall. When this place was first constructed, right after World War One, and we were there, started out in 1988. We were there the first time. It was dedicated to the men who lost their lives at sea in the submarine. Mm-hmm. Then, about 10, 20 years ago, some happy left-winger had the motto chiseled into it that is dedicated to everyone who lost their life in the water, and which would, of course, include my son who drowned while swimming with his buddies. That would include him, too. And they signed it by Otto Kretschmer, and Otto was furious about that because that's not what he said. He said it was dedicated to the men who lost their lives in the submarines. But Silent Otto's gone, so they just leave it that way. Then we move. Now we move to the U-boat memorial. This is on the other side of the Kiel. Kielefurde, that's what it is. They call it the entrance to the Kiel Canal.
Right.
This is where that I.M. Pei person got the idea for the Vietnam Wall. There are bronze plaques here, and every submarine that was lost or had men killed on it, they had the name, the number of the submarine, the name of the skipper, whether he was lost or not, and then the names of everybody who went down on the boat. Yeah. 3A and 3B. And you see all those beautiful flowers along there. Every once in a while, some misguided idiots, young, stupid, misguided people come out there and they smash all these flower pots and they throw paint on stuff. And the old widows come out on the bus and they have to clean it up on a weekend. Just people like that ought to get their ass kicked. The vandals.
Yes. Yes.
And N3C, that's just some of the bouquets and awards they put in there, memorials, mm-hmm. plus the book, the handwritten book, which they keep under lock and key. They gave me that book. God bless them. They trusted me. They gave me that book with every name on it and all the data about the guys who were killed. I brought it back to the U.S., to enter it into the computer. This was years ago. And I had it for like 2 years. They didn't know if I was ever going to bring it back. If I'd have wanted to sell it, it would have gone for $10,000-$15,000. But hell no. So I brought it back. We had a ceremony. I gave it back to them. And now we've got all these names, ranks, dates, et cetera, in our file.
Amazing. Yeah.
Great people.
All right. Yes, yes.
Now we go on to the N4. Now we're out of Kiel, and this is the famous Wewelsburg Castle. And that's the tower that was taken over by the SS. And down in the crypt underneath, well, first you have to go through a new museum now to show how mean the Germans were. And N4B, you see some of the SS rings in there. Those things are worth a fortune. They're engraved inside with the guy's name. And when he was killed, they'd be brought back here. And there's supposedly 30 or so thousand of these rings hidden somewhere around there. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. But these are in the museum. And here we are walking towards the underground crypt where the young SS officers would swear their allegiance, and we walk through the grounds to get there. And then here we are inside, and these horrible, horrible paintings are hanging on the wall that's from the new government. But if you stand
really,
in the middle...
That's,
Yeah, I know. If you stand in the middle, your slightest whisper thunders back off the wall at everybody around there. And if you look straight up, the gold inlaid swastika is still up in the ceiling because in between the four limbs of the swastika are four sections of the chimney. And they were going to cremate the fallen Obergruppenführer, which is a top general of the SS. They were going to cremate him. And you see those pedestals in between them, horrible pictures. The urn with the ashes of the Obergruppenführers was going to be on those ash, on those pedestals. What can I say?
Not much. That's plenty. Okay.
Not much.
All right. Next is something.
5A.
Somebody's house.
Yeah. Well, it's a bed and breakfast, but it had been used as a day room sort of officer's club. That's it. By Himmler, where he was trying to reconstruct the Knights of the Teutonic Order. And you go inside, and that's at N5B, that table set for us coming in. And then at the end of each of the bunks on N5C, mm-hmm. you see the emblems of each of the SS divisions are professionally carved into the booths. This happens to be the third SS, which was the Totenkopf.
Mm-hmm.
And last time we were there, we had our lunch or dinner. I forget which it was. Lunch, probably. But it was downstairs in the Hitler Youth Cellar because they had their own club room down there. And it's exactly the way it was when the Hitler Youth walked out.
Mm.
So we're sitting in history.
Yeah.
Now we to the next one, which doesn't have a number because I couldn't get the damn thing to work. And that is the only Type 21 submarine left in the world in one piece. No, it's the only Type 21 left in the world at all, period. And we go aboard that. That was U-2540. And it's in Bremerhaven.
It saw
action. So we go through that. No, none of the Type 21 saw action. They were all ready to go. A lot of them were commissioned. They got one out into a combat patrol, but before he could do anything, they got the surrender order. Mm-hmm. So that was U-2511 under Adelbert Schnee, and he had been first officer under Kretschmer back on U-23 in the early days. Mm-hmm. He wanted to see how good these things were. And he penetrated the destroyer screen of the of a Royal Navy cruiser flotilla, and he surfaced right alongside the cruiser and hoisted the surrender flag. And there must have been a lot of soiled laundry on the cruiser because nobody knew he was there until he came up. And then he hoisted the surrender flag, and that was it. That was 2511. This one we're looking at here is 2540. And
how many
it's been
did they
modified.
Finish? How many did they complete? Do you know?
Oh, they had hundreds of them. And what ones were not completed but were almost done were mostly in areas that were taken by the Soviets, and they took a bunch of them back. And they even took the German aircraft carrier, the Graf Zeppelin, and loaded it with as much Type 21 U-boat stuff as they could, big sections of it, and it was top-heavy, and they were towing it back because the Graf Zeppelin didn't have its own power yet, and they were towing it back to the Soviet part and got in a storm, rolled over, and sank in about, I think, less than 200 feet of water because it's dived by scuba people every so often.
How big of a carrier was this?
I don't know. I don't know, but it was supposed to have a squadron of JU-87 Stuka dive bombers on it.
Uh-huh.
But it never got finished. You know, they were halfway done with or partially done with it, and priorities changed.
What was the deal with the Type 21 U-boat that made it so advanced?
Oh, okay. It was an inverted figure eight hull shape, the lower hull, the smaller part of the eight, was supposed to be the fuel tank for the hydrogen peroxide Walter motors. They were going to run the hydrogen peroxide turbine, which was incredibly powerful. But the hydrogen peroxide at 98 and 99% pure was also very unstable. And they tried it out on their Type 17 boats, which were just experimental boats, test beds for this propulsion. And it was deemed not workable. So that whole section was going to be the fuel tank for the hydrogen peroxide was filled with battery cells, three times the normal amount of batteries. And these things were faster underwater than they were on the surface. Back in those days, a submarine underwater, flat out, pushing everything, would maybe make 7 knots. These things were running 18 knots underwater. And
six more months, and they could have made a difference.
6 more months is exactly right, which is why the U.S. put on such a push to end the war when they did. Quite a few of the generals, including, I think, Patton, also said that if the war hadn't ended when it did, 6 months later, it would have been a much more difficult thing. Germany never would have been able to conquer the U.S., England, and the Soviet Union. It just didn't have the resources, but could have forced a negotiated peace. But, you know, who knows? Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Well, Hitler bombed London with peace leaflets in 1940 and 41, mm-hmm. trying everything humanly possible to prevent a war with Great Britain.
Yeah.
Okay. Last one, and we got to see if we can jump into these Patagonia pictures a little bit.
Right. N7.
N7 and N8. Yeah, N7.
Okay, N7. We're eating well again with our Shark Hunters group. Now, N8, that's a Russian submarine, post-war, of course. And we go on board that guy, too. Now, I take it you want to flip out of here and get on to the Patagonia.
All right, go back. Just back off this page, and that should take you back to the Rents homepage, Rents News. Look on the left, and the second link under Harry's name you can click on, Cooper in Patagonia. Pull that group up. We're not going to be able to get through all of it, but you can certainly go through at your leisure and convenience. And this is important because... go ahead.
One of the things that might change a little bit. You see the pictures of that magnificent place called Shao Shao, photo 10, 10A, 10B, et cetera.
E, yeah.
We may spend a few days staying there. The lady in photo 11 was my buddy. I met her in 2008 when she was in guest relations. She's now the big boss, and she
said
we can make a deal.
You didn't know this until you went there and saw her?
That's correct. That's correct. I just said, hey, I remember Lucilla. Where's Lucilla? Oh, well, she's the chief. Jefe. Like that.
The chief.
Yeah.
El Jefe.
So she's, I got to talk with her. I said, you know, it'd be nice, but I said, who the hell can afford $600 a night for this place? She says, if you want to come with some people, we'll make a super deal for you.
Well, you're in. So you're there.
Yeah. She's a nice lady, and it's an incredible place. So much history. That was built just before the war started. And that's where Eisenhower went during his presidency. So did Jimmy Carter. So did Bill Clinton. So did Barack Obama during their presidencies. So did, what's his name, the hero of Vietnam, their Secretary of State.
John Kerry.
Kerry. Yeah, he went there when he was still Secretary of State.
But
so
do
we'll
something.
Be there.
He didn't go there for a vacation. These were official visits. Understand that.
Yep.
Not talked about.
Yep.
They didn't just go down there because they were bored and had nothing to do. There was a reason.
That's true. That's true. And then the rest of the photos, you'll look down and you'll see the center of Bariloche. with all the Bavarian influence there. And then we go to where Hitler lived, which is starting with number 19. And that's where he lived. We'll be staying there again one night on the property. And there's some things we found when we were there this time that I'm not going to talk about on the air, but it's going to take some remote cameras and some drones, and we're going to see history that people haven't seen in probably 70 years. And we go on the farm there where they raised everything that was for the consumption there of the Hitler and his staff. And then also starting in, what is it, on 42, starting with 42, we go to the island of Huaymul Island, which is where German scientists built a nuclear research laboratory starting in 1947, 2 years after the war was over. Mm-hmm. So we'll go all through that island, see as much as you want. There's nothing left but ruins, but historic ruins. And the famous Saracen Tower, which you see there in photo number 53. It's on private property and you can't go there, etc. Never, never, never. However, we now have opened a contact and we are going to be allowed on the property into the Saracen Tower. I don't believe anybody's been in it before, but we're going to be allowed in it.
That's fabulous.
And then, of course,
Go ahead.
Well, this will probably be the same time next year as it was this year in November.
Okay.
It's springtime down there, and it's beautiful weather.
Are you still thinking about trying to go back again, like sooner, or is that?
Yes, but not with a group. There's things I want to see. I'll go with one or two professionals, right, experts, because there's things we need to see. And there's we discovered a guy, Roger, who was with us. He found a guy who has, I may have to back off what I said when I said there's just no possible way there are bunkers there. But up from the house, you got big hills. And this fella.
Yeah.
Well, this fella said that he had been in the bunkers underneath. Mm-hmm. And now we know where to find the entrance to the bunkers. So that's what I'm going back as soon as I can put together the bucks to go back there. This ain't cheap going to South America. It's like $1,500 just for a couple of weeks. $1,500 for the airplane. Then I got to pay my buddy down there $200 a day, U.S. money. So.
Yeah.
I gotta
look
put
at the
together
very
about
last.
$4,000.
All right, the last picture.
Yep.
Shows Hitler and Dönitz, 1943. The German and Dönitz quote: "The German submarine fleet is proud of having built for the Führer in another part of the world a Shangri-La on land, an impregnable fortress." And that
right.
is a description of the place you'll get to go next November if you go.
Right.
That house.
A lot of people just quickly theorize, oh, he might mean that secret Nazi base down in Antarctica. If one exists, we've never found it. And a lot of people speculate, theorize, etc. We are absolutely certain he did not mean that. He meant the estate called Inalco. And that's where Hitler was, and for 10 years after the war ended, because he was being protected by Juan Perón. And we have other documents, which you know about, which we haven't told anybody about yet, that confirm and prove it hardcore 100%. Hitler was there, bam, zoom, no arguments. The FBI knew it, too. You know, in my book, Hitler in Argentina, we've got a lot of FBI files. And they all say the same thing. The FBI knew he was there. So if people want information on any of these, just send me an email, sharkhunters@earthlink.com. Or no, .net, I'm sorry, sharkhunters@earthlink.net. Or better yet, sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com. Earthlink sucks.
Very good. There are a lot of good pictures there. We looked at these a couple weeks ago, or last time you were on. And
yep.
This is what you'll get to see. But going to the Saracen Tower, the guard tower that guarded one side of the inlet that led up to this secret area, self-contained little tiny community with that beautiful home, which is, you think about it, outside of his childhood, Hitler may have lived longer in that house than he did in any other residence.
Could be.
In a continuous
way. He lived there 10
years. Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Beautiful picture. Roger Mick, photo number 58. Yeah. Nice. Well,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
If you go,
so we have a lot of fun. We see a lot of things, history. Go ahead.
If you get to go in a couple, 3 weeks, we can do a report when you come back, but we'll have to edit it carefully.
Yep. As soon as I come up with $4,000, I'm on my way again.
All right. Very good. Thank you. This was a very special night. Those pictures of Germany, extraordinary, the things people will get to see. That's coming up when?
September. Germany is September.
Okay.
5th until the 18th.
Very good. Okay. All right. Go get some sleep. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
My pleasure, and Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners.
Thank you, Harry. All right. Talk soon.
Righto. Bye-bye.
Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. All right. Back with more, if that wasn't enough, in just a few. Hang on.